This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, we welcome you back. Hour number three underway. Wasn't expecting that tune, but it's always groovy. It's always groovy, right? No matter what kind of music you like. And I like groovy tunes. Final hour, lots of NFL going on. As we mentioned, just some of the headlines. And, of course, the scouting combine in Indianapolis. And Sumer Sports is all over it, as usual, as they always are. And they're always so kind and generous with their time. And joining us from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine is the great Lindsay Rhodes, who we've had on a number of times, including Super Bowl week in New Orleans, where she correctly, absolutely hit it out of the park with Devontae Smith and made a lot of people in our listening audience, including yours truly, a lot of money.
Me too, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Hello, Lindsay. How are you? Oh, wait, do we have her?
We do.
There she is. I'm sorry. I forgot to hit the damn button. Hi,
hello?
Lindsay. How are you?
Hi.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Woo. Yay. We're all rich. This is exciting. You
yes.
can't hear us, but we're rich.
Exactly. No, but I of course, I didn't get to hear your immediate reaction to that. But again, I you were right on with that. I mean, you were on with a bunch of other things. But right on with that, that stood out in my mind. You killed it on that because it was not only Devontae Smith in the previous Super Bowl and then ultimately what he did in Super Bowl 59, but it was also what he had done in the regular season against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are not an easy defense to compile big stats against.
I know. Well,
so
traditionally,
kudos to you.
Though on Super Bowl Sunday...
Yes, except for that.
Wow.
Exactly.
Didn't see any part of that game coming the way that
yeah.
it came down, except for some of the individual stats, I guess.
Exactly.
That, we were able to nail.
Well, you were on it, and no doubt. And I appreciate it. Lindsay Rhodes joining us again from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. You can check out their podcast on day one of the Scouting Combine on sumersports.com. That's S-U-M-E-R sports.com. Easy to find. All their information, data, analytics available. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter or X at Lindsay_Rhodes. All right. So obviously we haven't gotten going with the on-field workouts and stuff. Let me ask you about one or two things there, and then we'll get into the big NFL hopper stories because there's plenty
yeah.
of them. Are you somebody that gets... what's the right word? Miffed a little bit, annoyed when some of the bigger names, i.e. Shedeur Sanders, and some of the top names do not work out actually on the field at the scouting combine if they're healthy? Or do you just understand that's where we are in 2025?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. Miffed is definitely 100% not the right word. I think it's an interesting, we're in an interesting time where certainly I think players in college and prior to them becoming pros even have so much more sort of ownership over their career and their brand. And I think that that maybe is driving some of the decisions that we're seeing? Because we've always seen top names not perform at the combine. This is not a new thing. Like, this goes way back to, you know, usually it's like the top quarterback or the top couple of quarterbacks. But usually everyone else is willing to participate or feels like they need to. And this year we're seeing more and more people, you know, further down the first round opting out of the drills. And so I think that that's really interesting, that they're taking control. And clearly their teams must have assessed that, you know, that whatever happens on the field isn't necessarily, maybe they don't need to help their cause. Like, they're already viewed a certain way. And so, you know, all that can happen is negative, which isn't an admission that what you're about to do on the field will hurt you. It's just, you know, like, you could, I don't know, get sick and not be at 100% or whatever.
Right.
But I do think that it's interesting. Some of the names in Shadori you mentioned, I think he's somebody that could actually benefit, because I think some people here have questions about some of his throwing skills and would like to see him on the same field with other people. Now, that being said, we're still hearing that he's probably going to go in the top five. I don't know that that's true, but I consistently am hearing everyone say that those two are going to go top five out of need. And then the part that makes me concerned about him not throwing and opens up a window for that possibly not happening for him is I'm hearing a lot of people who have really, not serious concerns, but concerns about him. Like, the way I evaluate is kind of listening to a bunch of people. I'm not cramming the tape. I don't know how to do that about a quarterback. You wouldn't want my opinion about his footwork and stuff like that. But I talk to a lot of people that specifically do that and then kind of aggregate their opinions, and having done this for a very long time, try and figure out what I think that means. And I'm hearing a lot of people with concerns that make me think that maybe he's a low ceiling guy and that people aren't that excited about him. And I think that that's an opportunity for him to come out and maybe make them excited. But maybe he doesn't need to.
Yeah, I know your colleague, you know, Sam Bruckhouse, who we had on yesterday, had you know, him and Cam Gore going 1-2. But I think there's questions about both of these guys. Now, as far as the combine workout, listen, I mean, I don't track this every year, but I know Jaden Daniels, who, of course, was the number 2 overall pick, didn't work out physically on the. I'm not saying it has a direct impact on how they will be as pros or where even they will be selected. Obviously, it doesn't. But I guess here is my premise, and you tell me if I'm crazy. I want to see these guys challenged in unique and challenging situations, not in scripted, comfortable situations like they will at their own pro day at their own campus when they know what's coming and they're totally familiar. And I kind of equated it out to this, Lindsay, you know, like as a rookie quarterback or as any quarterback, you wake up on a Sunday game day in the middle of November at Chicago at Soldier Field and you go, oh crap, it's going to be 30 mile an hour winds and it's going to be a freezing rain. That's different. That's uncomfortable. Now I've got to push through that mentally, physically, emotionally. So that's what I kind of equate the combine to. And maybe that's wrong, but that's just how I kind of see it.
I mean, you could also then, the pushback to that argument, which I don't disagree with, is, you know, that you have game tape. And that's what that is. That you know, you've seen them in adverse situations and how did they handle it in games. You've seen them in weather, probably. How did they handle those situations? Like, that's what should actually matter, not what they do inside a dome in Indianapolis in shorts and, like, a very tight tank top or whatever it is that they wear on the field these days.
Very tight, so, very tight tank top. Way too tight. Uncomfortably tight.
Totally. One of the things that I do think is interesting, though, is that I continue to talk to draft analysts who are talking about wanting to see the quarterbacks in particular with other people, how they interact. They keep talking about these intangible things that they say that teams are measuring. And I suppose you can accomplish that in an interview. But I think that there's also probably a high leverage point there, positively or negatively, to do that on the field. You know, in a workout environment, and see who is the alpha, you know, who does move to the front, who is a good teammate, who is, you know, all of these different things. Because I keep hearing people talking about those intangibles as things that they're looking for here, which isn't necessarily something that I would put at the top of my list or think that they actually do. And I kind of wonder how high up the list of things that they're looking for that actually is, but everyone keeps talking about it.
Yeah.
And I want to go, really? Do you really care about that, or do you really care about how far you can throw the ball and how accurately?
Lindsay,
but if the latter is true, then I think that it would benefit them from being in this environment.
Yeah, sorry to jump in on you. Lindsay Rhodes, SoomerSports.com. Of course, on Twitter, X, at Lindsay underscore Rhodes. Lindsay with an S-A-Y at the end, and Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S. We've got it up on Twitter and X, and we'll promote everything, obviously, for the great work that they do on Sumer Sports. You can check out the podcast as well. It's at SoomerSports.com right here and right now. All right, so moving on from just, you know, that portion, because I think, you know, a lot of the audience right now is like unsure of what these drills mean still and how, what kind of impact. So the other big part of the combine that I think people sleep on, and they shouldn't at this point, is it's basically a meat market for free agency and for trades and negotiations and conversations and cocktails, and how that all comes together is pretty damn incredible. There's restaurants, there's places that people hold shop in, meetings in hotel lobbies and whatnot. Yeah. And one of the biggest stories, I guess, that we're dealing with this week is where Matthew Stafford is going to wind up. Do you have any read on, I mean, I heard he met with the Giants. I heard he met with Tom Brady in Montana. Do you have any early feel for where and when this is going to get settled with Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, not really. The name that I keep hearing people talking about here, but is not necessarily like insider whispers or anything. Although I'm trying to think, we did talk to Ian Rappaport yesterday. Did he mention him? Because he might have.
He did. And you guys put, you guys posted the video and you know, and that's obviously, you know, part of the reason why I wanted to ask you about that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the team that I keep hearing people talking about is the Giants, and the fact that the Giants make sense for him because they are a team operating out of a relative amount of desperation, right? Like where you have a leadership component that probably won't be in leadership next year if they don't turn it around immediately this year. And so that's exactly the situation that you're looking for there, for a team that is going to be willing to pay, it sounds like, the amount that he's looking for, which is 50 or up, and also would be willing to give up assets in order to have the right to pay 38-year-old quarterback that price. So the Giants are the one that I think most people have kind of connected the dots as a team that makes sense in this situation. And then the fallout move from that, because for me, I'm just hung up on like why the Rams would let that happen, right? That's where I can't get past this. I don't think this really makes any sense, to be honest, because it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not sitting, you know, and I'm who's to say like what how Stafford's making his decisions, but to just feel like you need to be a $50 million quarterback when you're on a good team with people you have good relationships with, it just feels bizarre to me, especially considering all of the people saying that the relationship's fine. This has nothing to do with anything but money. That's not something that you typically hear.
Right, but that's just the problem, right? It's kind of like the Jonathan Allen situation here in Washington, which you know, we finally found out about yesterday, which we were all expecting, right? Is he's been given permission to trade. They say everything is still on the table, but you know, this isn't a football move. I don't think Matthew Stafford is a football move. It's all a money move. It's all a cap move. And then you have to look at diminishing returns, right? Like, yes, I would like Matthew Stafford to be the quarterback of my team, says Sean McVay. I love Sean. I covered him when he was 23 years old. I know him pretty well. Okay. Yes, I'd love to have Matt, but do I want Matthew Stafford at $54 million a year, or do I want him at a much lower price? And we already paid you. We already took care of you. We rescued you out of Detroit. You won a Super Bowl. We paid you. So it's kind of like this give and take, and often it doesn't come down to football evaluation. It comes down to financial evaluation.
Well, but if the football evaluation is very strong, then you make the financial evaluation work, which is what we've seen with, like, you know, every year we talk about the cap and the Saints, and then they just spread the contracts out and they make space and they make it work, right? And they're kicking the can down the road, and there's we assume the bill will come due for at some point for them. But if you want it badly enough, you make it work. And so I think that to say that this would be, if to put it all on finances, if you're the Rams, I think that that doesn't feel right to me. So what I think is, he's a 38-year-old quarterback who, I mean, you hear every quarterback talk about, you hear it all the time. He's like a quarterback's favorite quarterback, right? So we know that the talent level is there. And we saw that this year, that there were moments in games where he performed at such a high level. Mm-hmm. There were also games where he did not. the inconsistency was, he was all over the place this year. And from a metric standpoint, if you look at like production metrics, not the counting stats, not passing yards, not that kind of stuff, but the efficiency stats, it was a very middle of the road season for him. And so I think it's a very weird year for me to look at his age, look at the production stats that might indicate that we are on the downslope, and then say, now is when I want you to pay me. It just feels like a weird time to do
no,
that.
That's fair.
If I'm
that's
the Rams,
fair.
Then I may be looking at this and going, okay, the other option is, because here's where I get hung up, is if you let him go and you don't pay him the $50 million, then where are you going to go? What's your option? It's not a good year for options at quarterback. And the only one that makes sense to me is if the Vikings tag and trade Sam Darnold, and if he can go to the Rams. I actually very much like Sam Darnold for the Rams. And Sam Darnold is much younger than Matthew Stafford. And the thing about Sam Darnold that I have always said is that he needs a good environment to be successful. We saw that in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He was successful and not in the last couple of games, which is, I know, concerning for a lot of people. But for the majority of the year, he was very successful. I mean, he was top 10 in almost every efficiency metric for the quarterback position. So if you go to the Rams, now you are in that great environment and you have Puka Nacua and you have Kyren Williams and obviously Sean McVay calling plays and scheming up stuff for you. And I think that he could be very successful. And he's probably going to be successful at a $40 million a year rate. So that might be the answer for them. If we can get younger, get somebody in here that we think is also talented, that we can win with, and save $10 million a year, then I think that that might not be a bad answer.
I totally get that. But Stafford, you know, just, again, to not continue to belabor his point, you know, Stafford's looking at it like, okay, I won a Super Bowl. I got you a step away from the NFC Championship game in a blizzard just a couple of weeks ago, right? Right now, you don't have a better guaranteed option. I'm sorry, it's not Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, Pittsburgh, the Giants, New Orleans, Vegas, they all need quarterbacks. I'm going to get my $50 million from somebody. So, you know, that's kind of how he's looking at it. And I understand your point and your perspective. And you're right. There was some up and down. There was like a 5-game stretch where they were very middling on offense. And then they sort of put it together in some games. And they sort of were kind of like all over the place in some games. And I'm sure that's what the Rams and Sean and Les Snead are looking at. I wanted to ask you this. We've seen so many of these, well, hey, we'll give you permission to go seek a trade. We saw Harold Landry, Tennessee today. Jonathan Allen, I mentioned yesterday. We've seen other players, Matthew Stafford, obviously. Do you think that's just because teams are realizing, hey, man, these agents and these people are talking anyway, so we might as well make it legal, kind of like the legal tampering period before free agency? Or do you think this is just legitimately just an evolution in where we are with the salary cap and contracts and all this player movement?
Yeah, my thought is that if a team gives somebody permission to go talk to other teams, it's because they think they know what the answers are going to be.
Mm.
And so my guess is that when that usually happens, I think it's the team saying to the player, okay, go, and you'll find out what I think that we are where we should be. And if we're not, come back to us. And it almost lets other teams do the negotiating for you.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, right?
Like, I agree.
And now he has to believe it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's usually what's behind those kinds of offers.
The NFLPA survey came out this morning. I don't know if you've had a chance to pore over it yet, but here in Washington, the big buzz is, you know, they have
a movement.
Yeah, they have an A ownership in Josh Harris, and they have an A-plus head coach in Dan Quinn, who, you know, they whittled out, five other head coaches who also got an A-plus, and they anointed Dan Quinn based on some other criteria as the number one head coach in the NFL. When you think of how far this organization that my audience cares about so much in just the last year and a half, how do you, from a national perspective and somebody who's been around the game for a long time, how do you put that evolution in such quick time into perspective?
I think that you know the answer.
Yeah.
I think we all know the answer. I think that that's the first thing that probably everybody thinks about when they see those numbers is just, you know, the leadership at the top changed and everything changed. So, Yeah, it's, I mean, in so many ways, you guys don't need me to tell you this, in so many ways it was so fun to watch the Commanders this season, not just on the field and the success that they had, but just, you know, getting that kind of, like, negative goodwill, lack of goodwill, off the table. It just opens the door and kind of opens the windows. A bunch of fresh air comes in, and man, look what we can do. So
it's almost like a team that sucked for 28 years and was kicked at every chance and usually kicked themselves. Then all of a sudden, I don't know, got hit by the lucky tree or something like that. It's almost like that, where they got the head coach and the general manager and the quarterback and the owner all in basically a year and a half span. One last thing for you, Lindsey Rhodes, with us from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Is there a team out there that maybe not many people are buzzing about that you feel really good about early on in the offseason before we get to free agency, before we get to the draft?
Ooh,
is there a team that you kind of think, I think this team is going to be a big player next year?
God, I wish I had an answer for you off the top of my head. I would have to pull up a list of teams, and so that's not that's not going to work right now. You know who I will say that I actually, and this is not, it doesn't answer your question, but I am very, very curious to see the Bears. The Bears are the team, and I am not, and I'm not suggesting, again, not the answer to the question that you asked.
That's right.
But I think that they're so interesting because I just think that Ben Johnson being there with the pieces that they do have there and with the areas in which I think Caleb needs to improve, I could see him with a little bit more attention and a higher level of coaching. I think that we could see a massive improvement for that team.
No.
And a team that blew so many games just at the end, right? Like, think of the number of games where we were frustrated because of game management at the last second, where they were right there, and then it didn't happen. And so I think you could be talking about, just in terms of like vibes surrounding a team, I think that that has the potential to be a massive turnaround this year. And I'm not putting them in the playoff bubble conversation yet, but I do think that they're one of the teams I'm the most curious about.
I think that's interesting because a lot of people thought the Bears were that team coming into this year, and now, you know, miserable flop, especially after the Hail Mary, and they never recovered. Now with Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams in year two, so on and so forth, we will see. That's probably the team that I would say most people are going to pick before free agency and before, I think, before free agency and the draft. So I don't think you're far off. If not, you hit the nail on the head again. Lindsey, as always, thank you. I appreciate it. Have fun in Indianapolis, and appreciate all your time as always. And we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thank you so much. The running backs and the wideouts just filed by me in black suits.
There you go.
So they're getting ready to hit the field later in the week.
There you go.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Lindsey Rhodes, SoomerSports.com. Make sure you listen to the podcast. Thomas Dimitroff involved as well. And Sam Bruckhouse, who was on with us yesterday. Sean Syed, they do a tremendous job. SoomerSports.com. That's SUMER. Sports.com. SoomerSports.com is how you can get all of the analytical data, the podcast, the information, you know, you can just peruse and get what you want. And, you know, there's a lot of sites out there for football content. Everybody does things a little bit differently, so I use them all, but always appreciate SoomerSports.com for making their analysts at the Super Bowl, at the Combine, and so on and so forth available. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we return, that grade eight guy did something again. He did something again. What did he do again? We'll find out.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
He is now 12 away from passing the great one, Wayne Gretzky, 11 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's 894. Alex Ovechkin with a goal last night. The only goal for the Capitals in a 3-1 loss for the Calgary to the Calgary Flames. John Walton on the call, 106.7 The Fan, Caps Radio, and the Odyssey app. Ovechkin's pursuit of the great one is brought to you and scored by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Now, what you didn't hear in that cut is, of course, again, where Alex is obviously in relation to Gretzky, but also he extends an NHL record for 30 goal seasons to 19 in a row. 19. I mean, we hear all the time about the 20-goal seasons, right? 20-goal seasons are nothing. 30-goal seasons, 30 goals in 42 games. That's something.
A lot of guys score 20. A lot of guys score, like, you know, 25, yeah. 26, 28.
Yeah.
Very few.
I mean, 19 years in a row. 19 years in a row for 30-goal seasons.
It's the good portion of my life and will be the majority for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I gave them a chance. It made it 2-1. They were kind of sleepy, real sleepy first period.
Sleepy start.
Let's just say that. Better second and third period. Not good enough, but better. You kind of felt that one coming after, you know, the Flames have been scuffling a little bit.
They're fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah,
in the
but
West.
They're better than I think. You know, certainly they had been playing. The big weekend, right? You get a chance to sleep in your own bed for a couple of nights in a row. Mm. They had Monday off, which they needed after back-to-back weekend games. Got it. But you almost felt like that was coming. You know, and it was such a weird angle. Is that still technically The Office? I mean, John called it The Office. I don't consider that The Office.
It was the basement of The Office.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. I like that. I mean, it's the basement of The Office. Yeah. It's hanging out in Mommy's basement, as we like to. No, I'm just teasing. I just some of the analytics people and whatever, I like to make fun of them hanging out in Mommy's basement. Alex Ovechkin is not hanging out in any Mommy's basement with the number nerds and the analytics amigos. No doubt about it. Logan Thompson on his birthday, 22. The first goal was weird. They were thinking about challenging it really hard. Just a tough night. I mean, listen, the Flames are fairly good. I wouldn't say they're real good. 28, 21, and 8. And they had lost three in a row coming in. But again, you know, when you take on the Capitals, it's not only Ovechkin, but everybody's going to be shooting for you because you're 1 or 1A in the point standings, depending on the night with the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, everybody's going to be shooting for your best. Yep. Or to giving their best to bring you down, you know, and
it's fine. I don't want the President's Trophy anyway.
Yeah. They had earned a point in 16 straight home games. That was snapped last night. They hadn't lost in a game in regulation at Capital One since November 23rd against Josh Harris's New Jersey Devils.
Wow.
The team that Josh Harris doesn't care about. I mean, he's kind of admitted.
Well, he cares more about them than the Sixers.
I would say the results are better for the Devils.
That's right.
Than the Sixers. I think he cares more about the Sixers, but whatever. All right, time for a trending alert. Again, Alex Ovechkin's Pursuit of the Great One, brought to you by our friends at M Street Bank. We will return in just a moment right here on the Team 980. But first, again, the latest in everything going on in the world of sports. All right, coming up in 15 minutes or so before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, dum-dum of the day. And while some people are sympathetic to a lot of things, one of them being people that struggle with gambling, we realize that it could be a sickness, it could be a issue far greater than just bad decisions. There are... Let's just tease. There are things that you can and cannot do in this world. And there are things that people are doing in this world when it comes to gambling that we will, shine a negative light on. You will explain a little bit more. It's getting complicated. It's layered. There's more and more stories every day. And surprise, when the gambling industry took over sports, and all of these leagues sold their soul to gambling operations. You know, look, I mean, sports gambling was always a thing that was kind of like in dark corners, right? Oh, taboo. We can't mention it, you know, like forever. Brent Musburger would be like, that score is important for some people. You know, and then Scott Van Pelt made a cottage industry out of that, right? Oh, the bad beats thing. And wow, you know, like for those of you that may have an interest, you know, that type of thing. I think you all know. And listen, we've benefited without gambling and without all the books, BetMGM and FanDuel and DraftKings and so on and so forth, right? And ESPN Bet and this, that, and the other thing. A lot of revenue comes from that, right? I mean, we do sports talk, right? There's a lot of sports gamblers out there. Got it. Not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but when you do that and when these leagues and when professional and collegiate sports basically become about that business, you have to understand that there's going to be lots of brushes with illicit activity. And by welcoming it in, not to say that it wouldn't have happened, but by welcoming it in, you almost have to draw this like imaginary line where you can't always just say, well, don't do it. Don't do it. Right? There's a lot of things that don't eat that pie. Don't eat too many carbs. Don't drink too many beers. Right? We say don't do it to a lot of things in our lives and our world. Don't do it doesn't always equate that people won't do it. Right? And then you got to spank them and you got to figure out, okay, how do we deal with this? Anyway, more on that coming up in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to mention this. It is your chance to experience the ultimate college hoops tip-off weekend. It's Odyssey's Buckets and Bets, speaking of, happening March 20th through the 23rd at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Listen to the Sports Junkies next week for the daily keyword to enter at theteam980.com for your chance to win. And a friend, you and a friend, will fly away to Florida to watch every upset and buzzer beater on massive LED screens and enjoy real-time betting action. Hey, how about that? If you have a gambling problem, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's ADMIT. IT, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Hollywood, Florida. All right. We didn't mean to tie that in, but we're going to. Again, I gamble. I've got lots of other issues. Gambling is not one of them, but I'm a casual gambler. I won $7 on a $1 bet on the Daytona 500.
You had a pretty good Super Bowl.
I did okay on the Super Bowl. We both hit on Devontae Smith, as we were talking about with Lindsey Rhodes. I hit on something else with the Super Bowl. I can't remember exactly what it was. Remember we did that segment?
We did our whole segment. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I lost like 20 bets.
Well, you win some, you lose some. Right, that's the name of the game.
But I'm a $1, you know, I'm a $1. You know what it was? I won on a dollar bet. I bet the... I think it was the Capitals plus 1.5 on the puck line on Sunday against Edmonton. For whatever reason, they were plus 1.5. Edmonton was favored on the puck line, minus 1.5. The Capitals, it was like minus 270 on the odds. And I was like, screw it. I think they can stay within a goal of the Edmonton Oilers, right?
You'd hope.
And they not only stayed within a goal, but they won 7-3. And Ovi scored a hat trick. Now, I did bet like a multi-leg parlay that Ovechkin would score a goal, McDavid would score a goal, the Caps would win on the money line, and maybe Leon Draisaitl would have a goal. And I lost on that because, well,
PLD locked down McDavid and Draisaitl couldn't find the net.
There you go. There you go. It's not always going to work out your way. It's not always going to work out your way. All right, a couple of things that I wanted to wrap up the show with. Kyle Finnegan is back. I should have spent more time on Kyle Finnegan returning to the Nationals, but I didn't because, you know, again, we do the show, it's planned, but then at times there are things that just pop up, i.e. the NFL report card, NFLPA, I should say, report card, which we had no idea was coming today, and that kind of changed the course of the show. But Kyle Finnegan is back. This has been in the works. We mentioned this last week when Mike Rizzo spoke to the media, I think last Thursday, and Mark Zuckerman was where I got it, massinsports.com, that, hey, yeah, we've been in touch with them, takes two to tango. Right from that moment, and then Rizzo said something, I guess, similar on MLB radio on XM, Sirius XM, earlier this week, and that got people buzzing, and then literally yesterday afternoon, we found out. Now, listen, Kyle Finnegan on a team that has won 71 games the last 2 years is not like a huge name by any stretch or anything like that, but here's the bottom line. He was... I think set to make about $8.5 million, roughly $9 million in arbitration when the Nationals made the decision to walk away. And it was he was projected to earn $8.5 million. Okay, I wanted to get that right. Had he remained eligible for arbitration. They declined that, so they walked away figuring, hey man, he's a 33-year-old, had a 3.68 ERA, 3-8, struggled a little bit in the second half of the year as his workload piled up and what have you, but he did have 38 saves in 43 opportunities, 60 strikeouts in 63 2/3 innings. He was second in the NL behind the Cardinals closer in terms of saves, right? Now, you say, well, how important is a closer, a good closer, when you're not making the playoffs? Well, first of all, A, for this upcoming year, we don't know that they're not going to make the playoffs, but nobody's expecting them to make the playoffs, but there's a chance that they could, I guess. An outside chance is how I would label it, right? But the one thing that people forget about is you do not want to play and go toe-to-toe, punch-for-punch, with a team for 7-8 innings and constantly have the game blown to shreds that you're trying to win in the 8th and 9th inning. And, you know, we talk about closers, but also setup men, and the Nationals have brought in a variety of veteran, experienced setup men, and now Finnegan back into the mix. And I think their bullpen, I think first base, I think third base with Paul DeJong and others are infinitely stronger. Infinitely might be wrong. Are much stronger than they were certainly at the start of the offseason, and even I would say midway through the offseason. And while the Nationals have still not spent the kind of money that a lot of you were expecting them to spend, and I'm not sure why you were, there's been no indication that they were just going to go back to being what they were from 2011 through 2019. They've added Finnegan, the veteran reliever that they added last week. They've added Shinosuke Asagawa, obviously the international import, Soroka, Jorge Lopez, Lucas Sims was the I couldn't remember his name. Lucas Sims, Paul DeJong. I mean, I said they would major in January. The Nationals have majored in February. They've added a bunch of veteran pieces. I mean, they did in January, but they've added a bunch of veteran pieces here in February that have made this team much more competitive, deeper. And some of them will get traded at the deadline. Some of them will. But I guess the point being is, with now Finnegan back, you at least feel like you've got a chance to close out games. Not that he's going to be perfect. You feel like you've got a chance to close out games. You feel like you certainly have better depth. And you don't have this like huge black cloud kind of hanging over the team before they even start playing 162. Again, 71-91 last 2 years. This is, in my opinion, I believe this. This is like a 77-win-ish team. I think there's an increase coming this year. And that's still not good enough. I think they're still a year away. But 77, 78, 79, if they can get to 80, that would be awesome. Who wouldn't take that? I mean, all things considered. Again, just because you don't spend a lot of money doesn't mean you haven't improved your team. More on the Nationals as we go along. Time for Dumb Dumb of the Day when we return, before we turn it over to Craig Hoffman. All right, before we say goodbye, you know what time it is. Cue that intro, Mad Max.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Now, we've been talking about sports gambling here in the last 20 minutes or so. On the heels of a couple of Fresno State players being suspended, 4 University of New Orleans players who have been suspended since late January are now under investigation for NCAA violations related to sports gambling. Now, they were previously undisclosed as to the reason why, but they haven't played since January 27th for New Orleans. Jeff Goodman, basketball analyst, was first to report the gambling aspect of it. They are in the throes of this betting ring that has caught up a bunch of different people. The December 28th game for New Orleans, the January 11th game for New Orleans, attracted bets from sportsbook accounts associated with the betting ring. The point spread moved significantly, blah, 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 blah. There was also bets on games involving Temple, North Carolina, A&T, Eastern Michigan, Mississippi Valley State, and more. And it's possibly tied to the two NBA cases, which includes DeJounte Porter, then formerly of the Toronto Raptors. Here's the point. Fresno State over the weekend suspended two of its top players and removed a third player from the team amid a report that they were subject to gambling investigations. Listen, people. Again, I understand. I gamble. You probably gamble. Max, you gamble. Everybody, for the most part, gambles. You can't gamble if you're a professional athlete under the rules that are given by the governing body. It's that simple. Don't be a dumbass. And many of you are.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
And no, I'm sorry. Not everything is about having a sickness or, you know, whatever. I mean, some are. But not everything is about, like, use your head. Use common sense. It's that simple. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up next from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I'll see you back here at 1. Great job by Mad Max. Again, check out legacyonice.com. Thanks to Lindsey Rhodes of SumerSports.com from Indianapolis as well. And thanks to you for listening. Again, see you back here tomorrow at 1. Adios.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.